morning. Glad to see a beer drinker or two show up from Canada. How do I change this? I'd like to start by acknowledging some of my collaborators. The experiments were conducted at quite a few sites, so there are quite a few people. And also the organizations that funded the project, the Alberta Barley Commission, Canadian Wheat Board, Rawer Malting, and the MII Program of Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada. Just a little bit about malting barley in Canada. It's grown for two reasons, either for feed for livestock or malt for brewing. Interestingly though, the malt varieties account for about 50 to 70% of the total area seeded to barley each year. Unfortunately, less than 25% is actually selected for malting each year. In fact, usually it's around 20%. And this is usually or almost always due to poor quality. So the rest is sold as feed for livestock, so this results in lower revenue for producers. So what kind of factors affect malting barley quality? The weather, of course, is a huge one. Too hot, too dry, etc. And there's not much we can do about that. Breeding good varieties is not a major problem. Canada is recognized for its very good malting barley varieties. So what I'd like to focus on this morning is good agronomy. How the farmer grows the barley in the field. Can he improve the feasibility of his barley being selected, the likelihood that his barley will be selected for malting. So the objective of the study I'm going to talk about was to determine the importance of variety. We used two varieties, AC Metcalf, CDC Copeland, and I'll talk a bit more detail on them in a minute. Seeding rate, we used 200 and 400 seeds per square meter. And the reason we did that is the maltsters put a lot of emphasis on plumpness. So in the past, farmers tended to seed relatively low to increase the size of the seed. And I think you'll see from my presentation, that's probably not always a very good thing to do. And nitrogen, the bogeyman of malting barley. Great for increasing yield, but we wanted to see what it was doing to malting barley quality. A little bit about the varieties. They're the two most widely grown varieties in Western Canada. AC Metcalf is far ahead of the second one, Copeland, 60% of the acreage. That was one of the reasons we selected these two varieties, but also we selected them because they differ in the extent of diastatic power, our enzyme activity. Metcalf tends to have fairly high DP, our enzyme activity, whereas Copeland relatively low. Both of them, by the way, are within the acceptable range. But the chemist that we worked with the Canadian Grain Commission, was interested in looking at the effects of some of the agronomic practices on these two varieties for that reason. You notice there CDC Harrington, which was the mainstay of the malting barley industry for many, many years, is now down to about 1.5%. Now, how familiar you guys are with maltsters and brewers, with brewers especially, but they're very, very reluctant to change. They'll stick with a variety year after year after year until it's absolutely proven that there are better ones out there. Just to give you an idea of where we conducted our studies, these are the three Canadian provinces, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba. And we conducted them everywhere from the acidic grey Louisel soils up in Fort Vermilion there in northwestern Alberta to the black productive soil zones in Lacombe, Kenora, and Brandon. And my colleague Bob Blackshaw sitting in the audience there is from the fairly dry brown soil zones in southern Alberta and Saskatchewan. A little bit about the methodology. All of our experiments were conducted under no tillage. That's the way we do our research and have been doing it for many, many years. We use seed drills, a conservapack drill with knife openers at all the locations. I should also mention that virtually all of the nitrogen was applied as urea at seeding, and it was banded about 7.5 centimeters below and to the side of a seed. Another important aspect of the study was the quality. We tried to connect the agronomic practices to the actual end quality, and the guy who did that work was Dr. Michael Edney from the Canadian Grain Commission, and he used a system known as the micromalt assessment process. So what are the important quality factors for maltsters? Plum seed, I mentioned. Lots of starch for conversion to sugars. We don't think it's probably should be the main criteria for selecting, and I'll touch on that a bit more later. What's becoming more and more important to maltsters and brewers is seed uniformity, how uniform the seed is to achieve uniform germination and a homogeneous malt. Protein, of course, is very important. They like fairly low protein, from about 11 to 12.5%. Another chemical that's not liked very much in the malting industry is beta-glucan. That's a polysaccharide. It makes up the walls of the endosperm, has to be broken down to release the starch, and if there's too much, it can also cause filtration problems. High friability is very, very important. Friable malts means a more homogeneous malt, means good modification. Modification is a very, very important term in the malting industry, and of course, of ultimate importance is malt extract. That determines how much beer is going to result from the whole process. Extremely important. They like it around 80%. A little bit about the data analysis. We use crop mix of SAS. We use barley variety, seeding rate, and nitrogen rate. We consider them as fixed effects. These were the main factors under study. The environments, we did a total of 24 environments. I call them environments because from year to year variation is incredible on the prairies. And we use these as random effects. We felt we had enough locations to use environment as a random effect. So this allowed us to make general conclusions and recommendations on the relative merits of the treatments beyond the specific experimental areas. We calculated the proportion of variance associated with the environment by treatment interaction. And as you can see, for most of these factors or most of these variables, it's relatively low. So even though environment was responsible for a large amount of variation, the environment by treatment interaction was not. A little bit about the effects of variety. Copeland, the lesser grown variety, consistently out yielded Metcalf by about 6%, also had higher seed weight. There was a little bit drop in plump with Copeland relative to Metcalf, but not much, like 88.4% to about 87%. The protein was a bit lower with Copeland than Metcalf, which is very positive from a malting perspective. Not an awful lot again, but keep in mind 11 to 12.5%, any bit of drop in protein is very, very positive. What did I do here? Did I go back? Oh no, sorry. And we're on to seed rate here. No significant difference in yields between the two seed rates. A little bit of a trend towards a higher yield at a higher seeding rate. Kernel weight dropped, which we expected. The denser the more plants you got per unit area, the smaller seed. And this, of course, resulted in a drop in plumpness, which the maltsters do not like. So we went from 89% to about 86.7, which is not major. But you'll also notice that we saw a drop in protein as we increase the seed rate. Positive from a malting barley perspective. Beta-glucan, look at the drop in beta-glucan. 143 to 112 at the higher seeding rate. Again, very positive. And an increase in friability. So in spite of the little bit of drop in plumpness, increasing the seeding rate was relatively positive for malting barley quality. What have I got here? Oh, okay. We tried to measure uniformity, and what we decided to do was look at the standard deviation associated with the mean, and this is the effect of variety, and you'll notice that there's a higher standard deviation for Metcalf compared to protein, suggesting at least that the Copeland seed is more uniform than a Metcalf seed. Seed rate, the same thing. If you look at the standard deviation for the low seed rate, it is higher than the standard deviation for the high seeding rate. Again, suggesting more uniform seed at a higher seeding rate. So let's get on to nitrogen. You'll see there that as on the left-hand side, that as the nitrogen rate increases, the yield increases. And this is not rocket science. That's why farmers put nitrogen in their fields. But I'll tell you, folks, that is about all that was positive in terms of malting barley quality. If you look to the look at the other graph, averaged overall, there was a decrease in plant density as the nitrogen rate increased, even though we banded the nitrogen, indicating that we were looking at some toxicity there, reducing the plant numbers. Wouldn't affect yield, but definitely will affect quality. And lodging increased. You can see the lodging increasing, especially over 60 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen, and there was a bit of an interaction with seeding rate. At the higher seeding rate, a bit a bit more lodging. Seed maturity, extremely important on the Canadian prairies. A few days can make a hell of a difference in terms of early frosts, avoiding early frosts and so on, and reducing quality. Increases fairly dramatically as nitrogen increases. Plum seeds. Mosses love plum seeds. You can see how it decreased as the nitrogen rate increased. Protein went up, which the mosses don't like or the growers don't like. Interestingly, though, we saw an interaction between nitrogen rate and variety on protein. The increase in protein was not as pronounced with Copeland, the lesser-grown variety, as with Metcalf. So where did they grow Copeland? Friability decreased as you increase nitrogen. Again, an interaction with variety. The decrease in friability was not as pronounced with Copeland as it was with Metcalf. Beta-glucan, both varieties, increased with increasing nitrogen rate. Extract went down. You're putting nitrogen on to increase the yield, went down with both varieties. Yes, for a given amount of barley, the amount of extract is going to be less at the higher nitrogen rates. Look at the standard deviation increasing dramatically as the nitrogen rate increases. The standard deviation around the kernel weight suggesting less uniform seed at the higher nitrogen rates. So in conclusion, in terms of variety, Copeland yielded higher, had lower protein, higher friability, suggesting that it may modify better and actually be a better variety than the more widely grown AC Metcalf. In spite of reducing plumpness, the higher seeding rate had lower protein beta-glucan, higher friability than the lower seeding rate, suggesting again better modification, more uniform kernel size. Increasing nitrogen rate increased yield, but as you saw, otherwise had a major negative effect on the malting barley quality parameters. And it's a litany. Reduced plant density, greater lodging, longer time to maturity, reduced plumpness, lower seed uniformity, higher protein beta-glucan, lower friability, suggesting poor modification as nitrogen increase. So overall, the results suggested to us that appropriate varietal selection combined with strategic seeding, maybe limited nitrogen rates, they don't want to drive down the yield, so I get hell for saying that at times, will have the potential to improve the likelihood that barley grown in Western Canada will be acceptable for malting. And I just want to finish up by saying that good area to work in, you get to conferences where you get to sample the quality of the end product. Thank you. It's time for questions, I guess, if anybody.
Plenty of time.
Of the multi-quality parameters we're looking at, which ones could actually be used for selecting the new template, like point of purchase?
That's a big problem, actually. We'd like to be able to get some measure of uniformity. At the moment, what they're using is mainly plumpness and protein. And also, they'll look at the seed, you know, for disease and so on. But I would like to see a quick measure of how uniform that sample is, but we don't have that at the moment. The question was, is there a good system for measuring malt extract? There's not really, you know, it's wet chemistry. And it's slow. So the only thing, and actually this is the whole problem with the selection process for malting barley. And it's actually one of the reasons we started to conduct these studies. We feel in a sense that looking at a seed to see whether it's plump or not is a little bit archaic, you know, it's a little bit old fashioned in terms of, but at the moment we don't, you know, we don't have a good way of determining extract except for plumpness. The question was, I think, is the price of barley high enough to justify them growing barley for malting? Is that? Yeah. That's our conundrum. Actually, at the moment, as we speak, we have started a series of experiments where we're looking at managing nitrogen better. We're using optical sensor technology, the Green Seeker, to try and determine, you know, if we really need nitrogen. And if we do, can we apply it later in the growing season, maybe as a surface application? I honestly think that farmers in Western Canada are growing malt and barley, even now, apply too much nitrogen. I couldn't cover everything here, but we've got our experiments where we're going with the soil test recommendation. And some of our studies are showing that at 50% of the soil recommendation, we're getting as good or almost as good a yield, some years or most years, compared to the full recommendation. So if we can come up with a figure for farmers, seed or applied nitrogen at 60% recommendation, 90% of the time you won't take a dramatic loss in yield, I think that would be good. The other thing is we haven't done an economic analysis yet. And with the price of nitrogen, the way it fluctuates, it may not be necessary at all to seed anywhere near the soil test recommendation. Okay, the previous crop in all of these studies was canola. Yeah, and actually that's an interesting question because we have a study where we're looking at different stubble types. We're looking at canola, pea, and barley. And of course, barley and barley from a disease perspective is not great. But interestingly, farmers avoid pea or a legume because they perceive that it'll up the nitrogen. We are actually not finding that. We're not finding that at all, you know. And if we can use pea as a crop prior to barley to provide a source of nitrogen without adding inorganic nitrogen, not compromising the quality of the barley, that would be great. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.